Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here is this week's message.
Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. I want to read it and then we'll go through it verse by verse or section by section. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by these two immutable things, in which is it impossible for God to lie, he might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of hope, the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has endured for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word. Because, Father, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. So, Father, we ask today that you would increase our faith, increase our trust in you, increase our hope in your promises because of your word. And now, Father, as we study this passage of Scripture, I ask that you would open our minds and open our hearts. And we thank you for speaking by your Spirit in Jesus' name. So today I just want to share with you a short message about hope, our spiritual anchor. You know, we need an anchor for our soul. And this Scripture says that hope, the hope that we have in our eternal God, the hope that we have in our heavenly high priest, is the anchor of the soul. When everything's going haywire, you know that you are anchored to Jesus. And we're going to talk about that throughout this message. Biblical hope is basically a steady attitude of joy based on the promises of God. And this is a God who cannot lie. It's not a hope based on my circumstances. It's not a, well, I hope everything's okay this week, or, you know, I hope my contract continues, or those things that are unsure that are based on the things of the world. That's not what we're talking about in this hope today. The hope we're talking about today is the hope that is based on assurance that the eternal Heavenly Father will fulfill everything that he promised. See, hope in God's promises is the spiritual anchor that allows us to stay steadfast as we live for and serve God. Now, a lot of times we confuse hope with optimism. Now, biblical hope is optimistic. How many of you are looking for a better future? You're looking for a better place for eternity than here. I hope your vision of heaven is better than Kuwait. I mean, even if you're from Switzerland or the Rocky Mountains or the Grand Canyon or some fabulous island off the Philippines or something that everybody around the world is dreaming that that's where they want to live, hopefully your view of heaven is even greater than that. And it is optimistic, but it differs greatly from worldly optimism or positive thinking. Biblical hope is not getting yourself all psyched up with positive thinking.
Biblical hope is an optimism based on certainty and truth, not upon a cheery disposition that looks on the bright side. You know, some of us, we always see the glasses half full. I always want to know, why isn't it a green light or a go light rather than a stop light? Because it's green as often as it's red. But we as humans always have a tendency to look on the negative. But this biblical hope is not a cheery disposition that looks at everything on the bright side. If hope rests on fantasy and on the things of this earth, it is worthless. How many of you know this world can let you down? How many of you know that piece of paper you signed with your contract here in Kuwait is only worth about as much as the price of the piece of paper it's printed on? I know it's not supposed to happen, but it can happen that you show up to work and they say, sorry, you're gone. Or the company folds. Then that piece of paper doesn't mean much. Or we have to evacuate. If your hope is based on your contract and your situation here, Lord help you, I guess would be what I would say. To be valid, hope must be based on truth and certainty. Since our God is the God of hope, we who represent Him to this hopeless world must be people of hope. We have to be people who show hope to the world. You should be a person that shows hope to those in your office. When people are looking for hope, they should know that you are a believer. You are someone who hopes in God. Don't worry about it, bro. If we have the scripture, let me give you some advice. Don't rely on these. If that's your hope of getting the scripture when you come to church, you're in trouble. Bring one of these with you or bring your phone with you, okay? We knew we were having problems, so I told them, don't worry if we don't get it up. See, we need to represent hope in the world. There are some huge churches in America. I don't agree with all of their doctrine, but the reason they are so huge is their message is a message of hope. They have a lot of other stuff that they preach that may not be right on, but they're offering hope to people. And that is what the gospel is all about, is offering hope. I'm not too worried about what's going on around us because my hope and my security is in God. The author of the book of Hebrews was writing to a people who were facing hardship. They were facing some persecution. And many of them were thinking of giving up and going back to their old way of life, going back to Judaism. And the author of this book is telling them, persevere. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in the promises of your heavenly Father. And this hope is an anchor for our soul. So as we go through these scriptures, the first thing I want you to see is you must put your hope in God's promises. Hebrews 6, 13 to 15. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We can be confident in God's dependability. Be sure that He is a man of His word. I remember growing up on a farm in the United States. My dad would go and buy feed for the cattle that we had. And at those days, it was maybe $10,000, $15,000, which was a lot of money back in the 50s and the 60s. And he would walk, we would drive out with $10,000 or $15,000 worth of feed on the back of our truck on a handshake. Why? Because his word was dependable. Over the years, he had built up a reputation to where if he said, I will pay you, he would pay you. We would sell cattle on a handshake. I'm at 30, 40. I remember one time almost $50,000 worth of cattle went out in a truck on a handshake. That when I get home, I'll send you a check. We don't do that anymore. Now, you know, you go to the bank to get a loan, and it's 400,000 pages of paperwork and this and that and everything else, and you may not get it. Where it used to be, your word was your word. And if it was that way with people, how much more is God's word sure? He is dependable. See, God made a promise to Abraham, and he kept it. All Abraham had to do was patiently wait for the promise. How long did he wait? An hour? A day? Month? Years and years. He had to wait so long that physically it was impossible for the promise to be fulfilled. But he patiently waited, and one day the promised son came. This word to be patient or to wait, he waited patiently, it literally means to be long-tempered. Very seldom do we ever describe someone as being long-tempered. We know a lot of people that are short-tempered. But if we want the promises of God, we need to patiently wait for them. Abraham is a key figure in the book of Hebrews. He is mentioned more than 10 times. And his mentioning here is significant in New Testament theology for two reasons. First, God's promise to him frames the purpose and the method of the plan of redemption. To Abraham, in this promise, God announced the gospel, and we'll get to that in just a moment. His faith in that promise models the way to righteousness. Because the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteous. When we patiently wait for the promises of God and stand on the promise that God has given us, and here it's mainly talking about the promise of salvation. You know your salvation is sure because God promised it. We can be assured that it will happen. Pastor Hayden Robinson said this, God is waiting for you to respond with love to His love. He's waiting for you to respond with trust to His promise. He's waiting for you to cast yourself with reckless abandonment upon His grace. And He's waiting for you to discover what it means to be loved by God. Abraham patiently waited for God. Now I want to throw a parenthetical little section in here. Did he wait patiently perfectly? No, he got tired of waiting for the promise, and he stepped out in the flesh and did it his own way, and today we're still paying that price. Amen? So be careful that you don't get ahead of God. God's time is always perfect. I wish he was always early. Come on now. Wouldn't it be nice to know 6 months ahead of time before your contract ends where your next contract's going to be? That'd be awesome. You wouldn't have to worry. You wouldn't have to pray. You wouldn't have to pray about it anymore. You wouldn't have to trust God anymore. because it's already been set and given to you, but sorry, that's not the way it works. But we need to be patient. Let me ask you, how long did God patiently wait for you to turn to Him? If it's like me, it was many years. Probably most of us in here, God waited patiently, wooing us and calling us and drawing us to Himself. See, when life is hard and it seems like God is unresponsive, just be patient. The Bible says when you've done everything you know how to do to stand, what are you supposed to do? Just stand. Because in a moment we're going to find out you are standing and you are anchored to the rock of your salvation. You can hold fast to your hope because God not only made a promise, but He swore an oath to keep that promise. The next thing we learn from verses 16 through 18 is put your hope in God's faithfulness to keep His promises. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them the end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before Him. God made a promise, and God swore by Himself. So based on these two unchangeable, immutable things, that God made a promise, and God swore by Himself, you can be absolutely certain that His promises will be fulfilled, that your salvation is sure. Here's what God promised in Genesis 22 to Abraham. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sands that are on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. In this blessing to Abraham, God is blessing all of the earth through the offspring of Abraham. And Galatians 3:16 says that that offspring is Jesus. So here in this blessing, God is telling the world, telling Abraham, I am going to send the Messiah. I'm going to send salvation through your offspring. Now, the end of that promise was a long time off. I mean, a long time off. We may not see the whole fulfillment of the promise that God has given us until we get to heaven. Hopefully, the vision that you have for your life is beyond the time you have on this earth. That you want to pass it on to the next generation. I won't be here forever. None of us will be here forever. But the church will continue. Because it's not our church, it's His church. Amen? And so we need to build into the next generation. That's why I am so excited about our children's ministry. Because one day, those guys, one of them may be standing here. I don't know. But we need to pour in to that next generation. He says they are heirs of the promise, that we are heirs of the promise. There's something interesting about being an heir, inheriting something. You don't get to choose it. But see, if we could choose who we were an heir of, it may be Bill Gates or Elon Musk or the Kennedy family or the Rockefeller family or whoever some of these rich people are. Oh, I want to inherit what they have. And I can wish it and wish it and pray about it and fast about it and all of those, but it's not going to happen. Because they have to choose me to be their heir. You know, you hear of sad situations all the time when a child does something to disappoint the family and they cut them out of the inheritance. But I want to tell you today that you and I are heirs of the promise. We are heirs of the promise of salvation. God has chosen you and I to give an inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, we are heirs of the promise and we have fled for refuge. He doesn't talk about what they fled from, and he doesn't talk much about what the refuge is. But these people, these Hebrews, would immediately go to the cities of refuge that were set up around Israel. These places where if you committed manslaughter or accidentally killed someone, you could flee to one of these cities of refuge and you were safe. And those cities of refuge were a type of the refuge that God offers to you and I as a refuge from His coming wrath and from the punishment for sin. My question is, have you fled to the refuge of Christ? Or are you trying to do it in your own strength? Have you trusted Jesus alone to save you from your sins? If your hope is in your good works, you're in trouble. Your hope of salvation must be in Christ alone. And then he says we need to hold or lay hold of this hope. God's promise and his oath are two strong motivating forces to encourage us to grab on to the promise that he has given us. You must lay hold of it. I did a leadership conference one time in Africa, and I laid, I think it was a $100 bill on the pulpit, which there's a lot of money. Because I knew the culture was nobody disturbs the pastor while he's preaching. You just stay in your seat. So I said, I have a promise here. I've got a $100 bill. Anybody that wants it, you can have it. Just come up and get it. And I kept teaching. And I taught, and I taught, and I taught. There, you know, it goes for a couple of hours, not 30 minutes. And nobody came and got it, so I took it and put it back in my pocket. And I said, that's the way it is with salvation. God lays salvation on the table and said, it's here, it's free for anybody that wants it, just come get it. Now, if I laid a 20 KD bill up here and said, it's for anybody that wants it, I would be stampeded. Because you wouldn't care to interrupt me, right? But that's the way it is with the promise of God many times. God has made these tremendous promises in the Bible. Yet we don't lay hold of them. We don't grasp them and make them our own. Any promise that is left on the table is worthless. Any promise that is left in the Bible that you have not made your own is not going to do you any good. You need to search the Word, search the Scripture, and claim the promises that God has for us. Next, our hope is an anchor for the soul, the last two verses, 19 and 20. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul. It is both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the sure and the steadfast anchor for your soul. He will never slip. He will never move. He cannot be shaken. And if your faith is based upon the rock of Christ, be assured that the promises of God will be fulfilled. Now, a ship, when it drops an anchor, it drops the anchor below and it grabs into the seabed. Our anchor goes above. And we are not anchored below to this earth, but we are anchored into heaven. Jesus is the anchor, and we are anchored to the heavenly, the holy of holies in heaven. Our anchor is above. Warren Wiersbe said this: we are anchored not to stand still, but to move ahead. I like that. Being anchored in God is an anchor into heaven, and we move forward with God. Why do you need an anchor? I'll give you a few reasons. One, because of false doctrine. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings. There are people that will try to get you away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and you must have an anchor. You must be rooted and grounded and solid in Christ because of false doctrine. The next reason is because of my own doubt. 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now be honest with me. How many of you, since you were saved, at least one time doubted your salvation? I'm the only one? Oh, okay. You know, you do something and the devil jumps up on your shoulder and goes, well, if you were really saved, you would have done that. Amen? And we have doubts sometimes. But Paul is saying if we are anchored in Christ, we can overcome these doubts. Difficult trials. Romans 8:28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also be predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, if we are anchored on Christ, if our hope is in Christ and that is our anchor, then we can be assured that anything that comes our way, God can get us through it. It can work for our good. It doesn't say all things are good. How many of you have ever been through some things that weren't too good? I think all of us. But all things can work for our good because those things can turn us to Christ. And then the last one, we have to be anchored because of spiritual battles. Luke 22:31 to 32. And the Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. In this passage, Jesus is telling Peter, you're going to go through a battle, and it's going to be rough. And you're going to make some mistakes. And Satan wants to destroy you. And this is what I want you to understand. When things are bad, remember these words of Jesus, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Because the Bible assures me that right now Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I right now at this very moment. Whatever you're going through, don't worry about it. Jesus is interceding for you that your faith should not fail. But I like what he went on to tell Peter. He said, but I know you're going to make a mistake. However, when you return to me, strengthen your brothers. The Bible says, when you fall, get up. It doesn't say if you fall, because God knows we're all human and we're all going to make mistakes. But when we've made a mistake and we return to Him and we've gotten up and we've repented and we're back on our feet, we are then to strengthen brothers and sisters who are maybe going through some of the things you've been through. See, Jesus was our forerunner. He went through everything we've gone through, and He's made a way for us. Let me close with a few lessons that we can learn from these scriptures and from life. There has never been anyone who trusted in God's promises and they were disappointed. If you truly trust in the promises of God and you're anchored in the hope of Christ, you will never be disappointed. Here's a big one. God may delay the visible answer to His promise, but He always answers in His time, not mine. That's the problem. God does it in His time, not mine. And we may not see the answer until we're in heaven. God is utterly trustworthy to keep His word. And lastly, if God has promised eternal salvation to the one who has faith in Jesus, you can count on it as absolute truth. God's promises have never failed. His purpose is unchangeable, and His person is incapable of lying. God backs up His promise with Himself. Today we have a living hope, and His name is Jesus. And as we're singing this again, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would ask that you would consider doing that today. And you can come talk to me after the service, and I will pray for you and talk with you. Or if you're going through a situation now and you don't know what the outcome is going to be, you don't know where you're going to turn, you don't know how you're going to make it, during this song, understand that you have a living hope, and His name is Christ. And you can put your trust fully and completely 100% in Him. Maybe you've worried, as a couple of people have asked me today, Pastor, what's going to happen with the news of the conflicts between the U.S. and Iran and what's going on in Iraq? And I don't know the answer, but I know this. My hope and my trust is not in the U.S. military. It's not in diplomacy. My hope and my trust is in God, my Father. And as long as I am doing what He's told me to do and I'm where He's told me to be, it's the safest place I can be on earth, even if I die for Him. Amen? So today, whatever you're going through as we sing this song, put your hope in a living Christ. Amen.